Hey Siri, call Vladimir Putin.
Calling Vladimir Putin.
Live from Nixon's birthplace, Orange County, California, it's Bad Libs, the only podcast that's 100% certified libtarded. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Miller and Brendan Woodruff.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bad Libs podcast. I am just rolled out of bed, Woodruff.
What he meant to say is he is your host, Brendan Woodruff, and I'm also your host, Zachariah, Super Bowl Sunday, high as every other Sunday, Miller.
What's up, everybody? We are here. We have a guest. Comedian Ebo Brewer is here with us.
Sorry. Hi.
How's it going, man?
I want to put my thing up there. Yeah, because I want to be professional like y'all.
Oh, you're changing it to your handle? Me.
Yeah. Back out.
Boom. Ebo Brewer is on with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode. What are we at, Brendan? Like 92 or something?
We're at 93 technically. Although one episode I didn't wind up uploading to the Libsyn thing because we recorded it the night before the Capitol insurrection. And it just was like, this is dumb.
So as far as released episodes, this is our 93rd episode. Welcome back to Bad Libs, everybody. We've got a whole slate of topics we're going to be talking about today. We've got some people watching live. Many of you will be listening to this later on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts. But we got a great voice in Ebro Brewer. I've been working with this guy in stand-up for, 10 years or so.
He's a veteran. Just about, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
You look all old and shit.
Motherfucker, I'm still sexy though, bro.
I'm not sexy at all anymore.
I look like shit this morning.
No, but because you never were, fool. I've been sexy.
Oh man, I was man. There was a time. Well, I didn't even have to speak. I'd just be like you.
Back in the Navy days.
I didn't know you those years.
Marine Corps.
Marine Corps? Oh my bad. I got it wrong.
That's right. Ebo.
Don't ask man, though.
United States veteran. You've toured with a lot of the best veteran comedy tours with greats like Eric Knowles and rocked stages coast to coast. You're a real comedy veteran and pro, and I know you've got a great outlook to bring to Bad Libs today. So, Brendan, do you want to start digging into this?
First, before we get started, I want to remind everybody to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify. You can find all of our links to where you can listen to us at badlibspod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Bad Libs Pod, Instagram, Facebook, the whole deal. You know what's up. And let's just jump into it. First thing we got on the list is talking about doing comedy post-Trump, doing Trump humor when Trump is out of office.
Right. So I want to get Ebo's take on this because we're lucky enough to have him this week. So I've been doing this joke about smashing Melania Trump, like the whole presidency. And it's one of those shock jokes that it takes a second, and then I land a couple punchlines. Like I sell it real hard. Like I'd smash that, I'd crush that up. And then I go, I can't wait for that dude to go to prison so I can swoop. Right? and then I'd say it more, I'd crush that. I'd shake something loose, hit that. I was like, I hit that so hard when I'm done with that woman, she'd be able to write her own speeches, right? So it's a clever joke with some real punchlines, but it's like real, real graphic. Like you got to sell it hard. That's the joke. So like I commit to it. So I've done it, I think twice since Trump's been like unelected. I don't know about since inauguration, but man, the reaction just feels so different. Just Trump jokes in general, like,
People want to move on, I think.
Well, because I used to be able to tell that joke. I told that joke in East County, San Diego. I told that joke in Orange County. I told that joke in front of a lot of split audiences. You know what I'm saying? And now I feel like when Trump was in office, I could get both sides to laugh at it. Now that he's out of office, I can't get either side to laugh at it.
Because, man, it's like the hero died. You know, it's like they lost it. And then, like... white people got to feel oppressed. Like liberals got to feel oppressed. They felt like they were being beat up, and like they were like, "Oh man, it's horrible out there now." I'm like, "Now, it's been horrible." Right. Welcome.
Well, what's
that's it. Like for me, it was not a real change. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I mean, we had neither for me really in my personal life. Everything, yeah, basically the same.
I mean, well, just, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, what changed is just the way people acted towards each other, which was crazy. People thought that they had license to say whatever the fuck they want and do whatever they want without any repercussions. Like, I'll still knock you the fuck out, just like last year. You know, just because.
I think
too. Like, he openly racist and open, like, all sorts of people told me all these ideas they had about black people and about me and about how I live my life. I'm like, oh, really? That is what you thought the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Interesting.
And what the irony of it is, I think that the penance the greater white folk will receive for this is they're going to get to feel what it feels like to be treated like a terrorist and to be racially profiled. And I don't think, well, I you're rolling your eyes, but I think we might. We might be finally at the point where there's enough strength on the other side of the minority alliance, of the big tent alliance of Americanism, that can actually throw some shade on this whole operation.
I don't believe in that alliance.
Yeah.
Man, because it's always an alliance. It's always an alliance. There's always,
it's you gotta never, be.
No, yeah, there's okay, just well, not enough people.
I mean, you could say, it doesn't matter if it's enough people. All it needs is the right voice. And all that matters is being truly believing in your cause and having the public opinion. But the fact that they take away from black issues by not calling them black issues is always minority issues. Or they'll have gay and lesbian issues. They'll have Hispanic issues. They'll have Latino issues. But there won't be a black issue. This won't be for black equality with African Americans. It's minorities. Always, we always got to spread it with everybody else. We always got to, like, here you go. No, you get on too. Now, it's going to be a rainbow coalition when we ask for something.
No, I agree with that. But I think that if you're smart, you know, if you're dumb, there's nothing I can do for you. But if you're smart, you have to realize that the black voter and the black activist is what kept this fucking thing going just now.
I mean, you could realize that.
I realize.
But when it comes time to break bread.
So, well, that's what I'm saying, which is why bread never gets broken without a gun to its head, or at least some serious negotiation in this country. It never has. Not between whites, not between whites and Jews, not between Jews and blacks, not between Asians and whites. So what I think is needs to happen now, and I think it's going to happen, is a major fucking flex from the black community. And it should be there, which is why you see so many attempts to divide the black community within itself. And that'll continue to happen. And
it's that's been how it is since
that's since every jump, community. The Jewish community is.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. It's nothing like the black community, because the Jewish community, they keep their money in the Jewish community. They develop their power base within the Jewish community.
Yeah.
No,
historically, but there's a lot of fucking fascists.
I mean, like, you could talk about, like, you could talk about people to disagree. It's one thing to disagree. It's another thing to go outside of family. It's another thing to take the money outside of family. Yeah. Now, you can have different views, different ideas, and different thoughts, but the money always stays in the Jewish hands. Now, with the black community, we immediately get rid of our money. We get it out of there. We just like, yo, hey, we got money. We gotta get this shit out of here. And there's a reason for that, because when we had it, they killed us flat out. Mm-hmm. They destroyed our communities. Even when we had political power, they destroyed those political offices and ransacked the town.
And it's important too, because how do I word this? Obviously, I'm not an expert or like should be the primary voice on this, but I think that sure, yes, there's a lot of groups that have gotten short ends of various sticks in this country, but we have to focus specifically on black issues, because by and large, they've gotten the worst end of all of the sticks. And if we help that, it elevates everybody. Like, we have to focus on those things.
We got punished. Like, we got, pretty much.
I don't know if I'm wording this well, but.
Or people of African descent on this hemisphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On this side of the world got punished.
Both sides of the world got punished.
Like just for ending slavery, we got punished.
Yeah, well,
like we didn't. And then people always want to talk about, like, oh, let's get over slavery, let's get over that, blah, 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 blah. We were over it as soon as the chains hit the ground. We were, all right, cool, yeah, I can read the whole time. You know, like, yes. No, we can govern ourselves. We're good. No, I don't like keeping white women over there. We're good.
Which is why when I talk about minority alliancing, Ebo, and I think black people, the black community, first of all, this is the black country. Whether people want to accept that or not, this is black people's country. This isn't it's their country as much as anybody else's, except for maybe native. And it's like,
I'm to clarify that though, because the way you say it kind of might give people the wrong idea. I say as far as culture, as far as signature, as far as the mark of what it means to be a United States as seen from the outside world, because the dominant culture is predominantly in it's European, it's white. That's the normal.
Right.
That's,
what America created
and exports is all touched by the black community.
Oh, absolutely.
America can have become 1,000 times stronger than every other European model on planet Earth if we didn't have black folk, period.
Absolutely.
Black
not.
Folks spearheaded a lot of the advancement of this country, whether through just straight hard work or through advancements they weren't given credit or had stolen from them.
That's the weakness of white supremacy. That's what cripples white people. Because if you believe that you're superior, you have no need to transcend, make things easier, innovate, because you already feel like you're at the pinnacle. So why improve? So we always had to fight. So we always had to find better ways to do shit.
Like, yeah, no doubt.
There was no reason for some slave master to be like, man, you know what? We got to get these seeds out of this cotton faster. I'm going to think about this. Let me figure this out, how to get these seeds out of it. Nah, I'm not going to talk to the slaves. I'm going to do it myself. No.
And then when one person finally did, it just increased slavery, because they're like, oh, we'll give them this cotton gin and the slaves will be able to produce better. That's all that happened.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it was a slave.
Regardless.
One of those industrious slaves that's always like the people at the job.
It was
like, man, why'd you do that? And now you're going, man, you're so damn smart.
He's saying necessity is the mother of all invention. And when you don't need much, you don't invent much.
Nope.
And you just see the inventions. See the inventions in jail.
Yeah.
Man, that is ingenious. You should have an engineering degree.
You were underutilized. We floated off hard from the original topic, but that's
exactly
bad.
That's what we're going to do.
No, it's great.
Do you have some current events? I want to stay on time because we got to get to the end of this conversation.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, one thing I want to talk about, answer your question with comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Just answer that real quick.
Oh, yeah, please.
I was off Trump early because I'm not, like, we get it. He's a shitty president. All right. We got him. That's it. And my comedy basically stems from the people and how they treat each other. Because like I did this joke about like this guy, I'm just making fun of him talking about these blacks and these Black Lives Matter to his best friend, who's black as the ace of spades. Cause that's what'll happen. People compartmentalize this over there. It's them over there. That's why, like, as I went to Tulsa a week after Trump left and did comedy, and I had no problem. Because it's easy to hate me from afar. It's easy to see me on TV or listening to hip hop and have my jersey. But to see me face to face, and then I talk about me being a veteran and I talk about the struggles I have. And you realize our struggles are the same.
Right.
And then it's hard to be like, yo, those people want to live and have their kids be said. That's not reasonable to me. Right? You know, and that's what my comedy's been about. Just trying to find that common ground and put people back together, man. Because doesn't help, and to act like it's new doesn't help anybody either, because you don't find the root of it. Trump is not a genius mastermind.
God, no.
He did not create this division. This division was already here, and he just highlighted it. He used it.
Yeah, and it's always funny to me
when
you have like white liberals being like, he's the most racist president in history, and it's like, no, just most openly racist recently, you know?
You met Andrew Jackson.
It's like, you know, I mean, shit, even Nixon, like
the first 16. Like, call them the sweet 16 of slavery.
Some of them owned black people. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty wild.
I'm not racist as long as they stay in their pins.
There's clearly bullheads in both bubbles.
Right? I love going on Twitter because it's a place you can go to prove that people on your own side of the political spectrum are also the dumb ones. It's not just the other side.
There isn't, like, for me, the other side is the system. The other side is the political system, the legal system, justice system, the education system, the banking system. All of those are against me and my best interests in this country. Oh, yeah. So if you're not against that, then I'm not. So the Democrats and people that he's like, oh, like the Trump people to be like, oh, you're the Democrats. You're probably one of those libertards. I'm like, I don't like them. As a matter of fact, I feel like Biden is more dangerous than Trump because he knows how to use the system to lock niggas up. So I'm not your enemy here. That's what they do. The people at the top, they force the people at the bottom to fight amongst themselves while they just.
They've been doing that for ages.
I don't argue with you that Biden's more capable than Trump, but I would maybe question that his motives are to light N-words up.
I don't see how his...
His track record says otherwise. I'm with you.
Fuck motivation. What you did. There's a swap.
His track record sucks. We've been talking about this on the show since 2019, his track record is shitty.
Well, pre 08 or pre like 04. I mean, but track records change.
Just because you get cool with a black dude doesn't mean all of a sudden you cool with black people. Now, like, it's like, oh, well, he was the vice president. Now he got a dope ass job. And so he got to work under a black guy. So all of a sudden he likes black people?
I'm talking about his policies, bro. You know what I'm saying? And the actions he's taken. I mean, he brought the first African American female vice president to office.
I don't give a shit about that. Nobody gives a shit about it. Like, you could bring all sorts of black people in. That does nothing for us as a community. Plucking people out of our community does not strengthen our community. It does not inject wealth in our community. It does not inject political influence in our community. It takes somebody who didn't even claim to be black off top. She went about that until it came later.
What did she claim before that? Wasn't she in a black community and went to an HBCU?
I don't know.
She did.
Still doesn't make you black. You go to HBCU all day. But you know what doesn't make you black?
At this point.
It's no bias. It's no bias. How are you black when you've destroyed more black families in California than anybody else?
Oh yeah.
How are you black when you blocking the evidence just to keep convictions so you can get in this position?
I'm in the weed game, bro. I know about fucking Kamala Harris and destroying people's fucking families and lives. My point is that I'm looking for solutions, not fucking excuses. And I feel like I feel like if I could find a good solution to a problem, like, because if Democrats, and I'm not even a registered Democrat, I've been an independent voter my entire life. But my thing is this, if Democrats can run the big system, we need a big system. To say otherwise is naive. Like an economy this robust, a population this big, a world this integrated needs a fucking robust, strong system of government. The question is, who controls it? The people or the fucking companies? And
that's the problem. The people don't want to control it. The people don't want to. The people want to hand control over.
Right. Well, that needs to be deaded. And I feel like people like Stacey Abrams are leading the pack on that. And instead of, you know, we need to support the fact that the system can be reformed. It doesn't need to be destroyed, because when it's destroyed, more people hurt, way more people.
So
I don't,
if I can,
it's okay when you're in a house that's not on fire to be like, yo, we need to just burn the whole block and start over again. And like, no, my house is fine, bro. Like, we don't have to burn the whole block. Right. I'm on fire. Like,
right. I understand.
My community's on fire. So it's like you understand that we do not have equal protection under the law.
No,
or full citizenship.
I understand that 1,000%. That's one of our biggest.
So, like, if I'm not a full citizen, how do I feel protected or safe?
Right. So you'd rather just
that goes
see
to
it
the
all
story.
Down.
That goes out of the. Why would I? What? It's going to tear down for me if I get killed or if my kids get killed. Right. Everything's torn down if that happens. But God wouldn't put that on the universe.
Well, but are you saying something about ground up governing? Like we handle shit from the ground up. So what do we care about the top?
No, we have to put fire under the top. We got to heat them coals. We got to stop being comfortable. Being comfortable with giving scraps. Yeah. Like I can't. I'm not. I'm done. I'm done being a bully by police. I can't do it anymore. I physically can't.
Right.
Because I used to have to make myself small when I get pulled over. Talk, oh, hey, how you doing? Smile and shit. When they work for me.
Right.
I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I fought. I served my country. I'm not a felon. I don't do anything except what I'm supposed to fucking do. I keep myself educated politically and historically to make sure I make informed decisions. So there's no reason a cop should ever look at me and give me a snide look. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it. So I'm like, I can't just sit here and walk like everything's okay and everything's fine. And that goes back to the story. And we talk about the legal system and all that stuff. The medical system.
Oh, the medical system.
The medical system. People don't even talk about that. I'm dealing with it personally. I'll tell you this. This is a story. It really happened. Look it up. It's crazy. There was a black man, a firefighter. Well, he wasn't a firefighter at the time. He was on the council or whatever. He was older.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the hospital for chest pains, to emergency room for chest pains. Now, everybody knows, if you go to the emergency room for chest pains, everybody's supposed to get all like, let's run these tests.
Yeah, it's an emergency.
Yes, they gave this motherfucker ibuprofen
Jesus
and sent him home.
Then I'm sure he died then.
No, not the first time. Not the second time.
Did you hear?
He tried to go to work, and then another firefighter sent him back to the hospital the third time, and they said we told him we already diagnosed him. We don't need to see him again. So they wheeled him to his car where he fucking died. A firefighter, someone who saved people's lives.
That happened recently. There was a black nurse? No, she was a doctor in, like, I think it was Indiana.
Indiana, home state. Yeah.
And they wouldn't take her COVID symptoms seriously. And she, like, knew all of the terms and was like, these things are happening to me. I'm having this with my oxygen levels. I need fucking oxygen. And they wouldn't give it to her for, like, days. I mean, she finally got it. And then, you know, but like the delay in treatment, she died. She had to go to an entirely different hospital to get the oxygen. She finally got it. She was getting better. They sent her home. She got worse again. She went back to the hospital and then she died. But it's like an infuriating story. And it's
this is what they do. They do this all the time. They've been doing this. This is systemic.
Black people now, don't get taken seriously.
This is a black issue. Mm-hmm. This is what they do to black people. And then when we don't handle the fact that they do this to black people, then it gets overlooked. I, veteran, went to the veterans hospital to get treatment for a herniated disc in my back. It is a ridiculous amount of pain. Like, it's sickening.
Yeah, there's this old...
And I know the old saying.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, and all I asked was, like, why is it okay that I'm in this much pain for this long? Because it'd been months. And then they still didn't. And then they decided, like, oh, well, it says here that he has alcohol and drug abuse in his history. So we can't give it to you because you're an addict. I'm like, again, does that mean I'm not human? Does my quality of life not? I can't walk, bro. Like, I had to get a scooter. Luckily, by the grace of God, I've been able to provide for myself financially to the point where I can get a scooter. I can get a car. I can do that. But
they still won't give me pain pills.
See, the thing is, I got into a new apartment. I've lived in my apartment for 2 years, right?
Mm.
And this is the sad thing. This is the thing that makes me mad, because I was strong enough. I had enough resources. They weren't who I thought I wasn't who they thought I was. I was a man who was connected, has a career, has a job, has means. But they thought, since I was coming from the homeless clinic, because that's where I was when I first went to the VA, because I had some troubles, they thought I was just another homeless black veteran come in and they could do whatever they wanted. And that's what they do.
Yep.
And it's sad because these men don't deserve that.
Oh, I know. And it's also you run into like the assumption that people don't even realize that is there in the background. But like just the assumption that black people can handle more pain than white people. That's just been there since slavery and it never went away. Like it's why it's harder for black people to get pain meds, it's harder for them. Like the guy with the chest pain, they're just like, oh, it's fine, walk it off, and not like you're having like a heart attack.
Ibuprofen for an inflamed heart. I'm like, man, they wrote this down wrong. They couldn't have. It must have been somebody writing the story said a inflamed heart. No doctor said like, yo, I'm gonna give him a couple of ibuprofen. You know what I'm saying? A cup of water.
That's just one of the many assumptions that people make.
Get your feet up a little bit, elevate.
Imagine how much damage that one assumption can do. And now imagine the myriad of assumptions that doctors make all the time. It's insanity.
I have to imagine.
No, I'm trying to explain to the listeners and shit. I'm not talking to you specifically.
I was like, man, I can imagine all sorts of assumptions.
This is for our mostly white listeners.
Do our listeners mostly white? You know that?
Yeah, I would. Yes.
On Facebook, on Facebook, listening to Bad Libs.
Yeah. What are you thinking, man?
You think they checked it for Bad Libs in the streets? That's what's happening. Hey, my nigga put on Bad Libs, man. You know my nigga Zach is on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie D.
You know my homeboy Zach is on.
Willie D just shouted us out on Instagram, bro. All right. So we've been off for 28 minutes. We haven't gotten to one current event.
I've been enjoying the conversation. It's great.
This is great. Yeah,
I mean, not those kind of current. But I mean, it's a current event.
It's always current events, man. It's always happening.
I had to bring my own nurse with
Jesus
me.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Only reason I trust her is because I went to elementary school with her. She saw me when I first made a kid shoot milk out his nose, and I knew I was going to be a comedian. Fifth grade. His name is Arthur Vasquez. Shout out to Arthur Vasquez. Shooting milk out the nose, letting the boy know he had skills.
All right, let's get to this list,
bro. Killing crowds.
So, yeah. All right. This is going to sound wildly more insignificant compared to the conversation we just had. But Marjorie Taylor Greene lost all her committees this week. That was kind of fun to watch, you know, mild accountability for Republicans, the barest minimum of like, okay, so you can still be a congressperson, but we won't have you making decisions about specific areas like education.
Trump made it stylish because Trump he plays stupider than he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the brightest. But he's not as simple as he lets on because he puts things in place.
That's an old dictator trick.
Yeah.
Idi Amin used to do that.
But people be eating his soup. You know what I'm saying? They be thinking like, oh, he don't got to learn nothing. I don't got to learn nothing either. And they go out saying things like, what? You can't say that?
Well, and no one.
You can't do that. And then when they get held accountable, because they're not.
They can say that.
The Don.
It's just what them saying that. It gets them, and that's from our side and their side. Their side's clearly said, you can keep saying that, we'll keep giving you money, we'll keep supporting you, we'll keep fighting with you. The question is, do we let them win? Winning and fighting are two very different things.
Yes, and well, also, no one wants to admit this, but there's a million Marjorie Taylor Greens walking around. Like, I've met women
common.
That are just
they're
like
common.
Her. They're everywhere.
Donald Trump
are going to run for office because they all have gigantic egos.
Trump built a political business model that did not exist before.
Yeah, and they swear they're not racist because they're either married to or date that one black dude that has the leather jacket that's kind of ruffled. It's not a new leather jacket. It's an old leather jacket, and he smokes Marlboros.
They listen.
He's like, hey, I got those big and rich tickets.
It's like when comedy figured out how bringer shows work, and fucking and then every dude was like, so let me get this straight. I book it. I meet the manager at the improv. I get a list of 15 comics. I gather all their guest lists. I compile those guest lists. I give them to the improv manager. Then I show up to a packed show and make money. Oh, I can do this. And it was like the worst fucking thing for comedy ever. Just like this Trump models is the worst thing for politics ever.
Got some of the greatest comedic minds out of that.
Stop it, bro.
These people were irresponsibly allowed to hold hundreds of people hostage. This is a humanitarian crisis bringer show to.
For real.
I didn't see, I used to work the door at the Comedy Store. I've never seen people furious at the Comedy. It's like, what the hell? You got me in there. You got me in there listening to these people. It's supposed to be a comedy show, man. I got a job. I got one day off, man.
I just paid $18 for a Jack and Coke. What the fuck? Yeah, no shit. That's hilarious.
This bitch just said, where's the beef? You remember that shit from like the 80s? She had a where's the beef joke. The fuck, man?
It's sad, dude. It's fucking sad.
I have no idea what's going on.
It's hack comedy and hack politics. Like, yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a hack politician, just like Trump was a hack politician.
My favorite...
fucking sell a bullshit bill of goods, and then they play the politics of the industry to fucking make that bullshit bill of goods valuable strictly through call to personality. And it's fucking trash.
My favorite thing was she stood in front of Congress and says she was allowed to believe things that are not true.
Alternative facts.
These other people, they let me believe these things.
My grandma has said. That's equivalent.
And if you notice, the most hack fucking no talent development fucking comedy markets, the ones that just use comedy to fucking sell overpriced beer and overpriced fried food, those places are the same places that elect these fucking bubbleheads, bro.
Hey, don't make fun of the frozen chicken wings.
I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying
they have their purpose.
They shouldn't be $19 because this is the only place in 400 miles you could see a live stand-up show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad when I go perform there.
Whatever, so this is entirely unrelated to fried food at comedy joints, but
I completely understand what you're saying. I'm on board with you.
I had this.
It's just like one of those things where like you can only do certain things from certain points, you know, and that's what it's like when you're talking about with the coalition and working with other people. You know, like a lot of people say that like people change when they get money. It's like, no, I don't need you anymore. I don't have to listen to your bullshit. So go fuck on. I got money now.
Money to make the change that you want to make.
Or make the friendships.
Who people already were to begin with, you know.
Because I mean, there are people that I would have never talked to, but I had to. And I had to make friends with them because mm-hmm. they had positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to listen to it. I had to go, oh, man, you kill me. No, they don't. They never kill me, ever. But I'll laugh. I practice. I got it.
Yeah, dude. That's a whole other podcast we should do when we talk about comedy.
Yes.
But Marjorie Taylor Greene losing her committees, I guess, is something, but like everything else, minimalist, not nearly enough.
Yeah, I had a thought the other day that I think it's not a coincidence that like QAnon, like, how do I explain this? Trump hit right in time for a whole bunch of Gen Xers, like midlife crises. And like
people with no direction.
Yeah. And like gave all of these people who like normally would have had a normal midlife crisis, like this weird political cult to latch their midlife crisis onto. And I think that's like a lot of what's driving Q and shit.
A change in the way children have been raised recently to that. And I'm talking about children that are in their 20s now that are like,
yeah.
See, 20 year olds are the knife of any movement because they're the ones that are going to do the fucking action and getting shit done mm-hmm. because they have good knees. You can't be fucking
in the chart
with shitty ass knees, right? You need somebody, some 20-something. What these kids did is they got shit like participation trophies, and they got everybody's a winner, everybody's a champion. Nobody, they went through school systems.
The dirty
that
secret
would
is
not a, fail them. All you had to do was go to school. You didn't have to pass any classes. You just had to go, and you will get a diploma. I guarantee you. And then they go and play these games. They go to play these games where they don't talk to people face to face. They just hear a disembodied voice, which is somebody that they're dealing with. But that's the person that they deal with on a regular basis every day. That's their closest friend. Their closest friend they've never even fucking seen before.
Oh, you're talking about like you know? Video game streaming?
Yeah. No, like video game streaming, no, just gaming in general.
Yeah.
You know, they buy their way into being better at the game. Mm-hmm. There's no training. There's no grinding it out. When you could just buy like a crazy controller that could do all the stuff. And then your parents just placate you. They think, oh, well, you know, the kids are staying at home longer than they used to. Back in my day, it was a different market.
Well, that trend
started. He's going somewhere with this podcast.
So there's an interesting history. That trend started in the 50s with like Dr. Spock and shit. Like the baby boomers are like the first generation where that kind of wasn't as full bore as it was now, but that was when the trend started.
Those were nerds, though. Like nerds actually had a purpose. Nerds were fucking smart. Like they were smart. Like now these people, oh, dude, I'm a nerd. No, you're not. You're fucking stupid. You're stupid as shit. You have the muscle development of a nerd, but right. you don't have any athletic ability, and you can't fight. You can't defend yourself.
There's a difference between
you talk all that shit. Like don't sit there and talk all that shit, and then you smack the shit up. What the fuck? You fucking hit me. I'm like, yeah, that's what happened.
There's a difference between knowing a shit ton about the Marvel universe and actually like knowing calculus.
Yo, I shared this video not too long ago of this guy at one of these protests, and he had on a black leather jacket and a swastika armband, right? Yeah. And all the
he's
video
like punching
is,
him. The guy getting punched.
Like some guy, I can't tell what the guy is. He looks like kind of a mulatto Vanilla Ice. And the Nazi you could tell he's coming at him, and fucking the Nazi just
like,
puts his hand
up. Stop.
Like the dude's just gonna stop because he puts his hand up and then he just gets knocked the fuck out. It's great.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah. Like I think Godfrey he said one time on about the Trump people, he's like, hey, I don't think they realize that cops can't be everywhere. Like cops aren't everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You start these problems. Like we learn this early, like cause and here's the thing that I got to say this because it's been brought to me a lot when people talk about like violence in the black community, talk about violence in the black community like it's uniquely black, which is not the case. It has to do with an impoverished group. It happened to the Italians. Them motherfuckers were lighting each other in suits.
Yeah, it's
wearing suit. How to put on a suit and tie and then get shot the fuck up. That's fucked up.
Most crime is linked to deprivation. That's just true throughout history.
Yes, and they want to say link it to the culture, link it to hip hop. I'm like, it has nothing. A
hip-hop
song is don't make you want to kill nobody.
Hip hop is just a mirror of what's already there.
It's the fact that you got a baby mama over here who you can't feed.
Yeah,
you can't feed your kids, and that'll make you get out and shoot a motherfucker. Real talk, real quick.
Yeah,
heard that.
And then once you get money, you don't know how to let go of it, or you don't know how to like, and you feel like everybody's gonna take from you. That's why you have these rappers that are like, well, how come he got a gun? Cause that's how he got that shit.
And when you got it, and when you get it all figured out, and when someone comes along who's got it all figured out, like Nipsey, look what happened.
I think that was some other bullshit involved. Doesn't make any sense. He's a secret crip the whole time, and then the dude's gonna come out of nowhere, man.
Podcast.
Conspiracy.
Watch the video.
Conspiracy.
We talked about it when it happened.
I'm looking. I'm still waiting for his killer to have his day in court where he explains this shit. Cause that looked like a hit, and nobody fucking
dude. But it was a hit. Nipsey was on the block all the time. Nobody fucked with Nipsey because he was a good dude.
Yeah,
and he wasn't a bitch about shit. Yeah. Like he didn't judge nobody for doing their thing. And then he was one of the few people who could bring bougie ass black folks together. And fucking hood ass niggas together. That was one of the few things. He was like, that's the truth. He's like, he's the only people that could get people in suits to sit down with the cats with guns on them right now. Like, hey, nigga, put the gun back in the car. Nigga, leave the gun. Like, oh, my bad. If you know me, I always got it on me. Yeah, go. That's good. We want you to send. I'll be back. Nipsey brought that together because everybody respected him.
And
for him to go out, some dude that like just, oh, Nipsey said I was a snitch. So I'm a kill Nipsey.
I don't know. That looked like a fucking hit, like a CIA, like not like a fuck you, dude. I'm gonna shoot you because I hate you type thing.
Fucking
like
Quintel, bro.
Sure, like I leave.
Yo,
here,
hey,
I better.
Hey,
make
for, sure hey, for, hey, you want to see a hit? MO3, that motherfucker got hit. He got killed by John Wick. That motherfucker got out the car,
who?
Ran in traffic, wounded the non-target. The person got out the car, got in the way. Pow! got him out of the way, didn't kill him, and then popped the dude in the head twice, jumped off the off ramp on a fucking car, on a truck, like it was, come on. And he's like, he's running like he's got like tat gear on.
Wait, who did you cut out when you said the name on my end?
Oh, MO3. Oh. He's a Texas rapper. And when he that big, like, I mean, he had some pretty dope tracks, but, and then that shit in Chicago. I lived in Chicago. I grew up in Chicago. Statistically, when I was in Chicago, it was way more violent than it is now. That's the numbers. That's the facts. But they want to push this narrative of just everybody in Chicago just wanting to murder and kill each other.
Oh, it's wild. It's
people want to get the fuck out, man. People just want, like, they want jobs. They, like, if you give somebody a safe way to make money, they'll take it. Why do you think these motherfuckers, you think these rappers, like, they just go in the studio and rap? Like, this ain't easy work. Rapping ain't easy work. Like, people make it seem like it's easy work. These motherfuckers are in the studio constantly. That dude that just blew up, Lil Durk, he's been doing this shit for 10 years. You think he's been doing that shit for 10 years? If anything, that was the only way he gets the fuck out of Chicago? We don't want to do that shit. But they make it seem like, and then they make it that they're afraid of us for some shit that had a real fear. Like, white people actually think black people are a danger to them when we have never been.
Oh, it's insane. Oh my God.
And it goes back to either you're slanging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. Like, that mentality, it's hard to shake, Holmes.
It
comes from the inside and the outside.
I remember.
But I feel like it's getting broken. I hope.
Right after Floyd got murdered and like all the first round of protests were all breaking out, I remember watching I'm in South Orange County, like the local community Facebook group. Like, oh my God, people were freaking out. Like, they thought that like hordes of black people were going to come in buses to Orange County to specifically like rampage through their shitty gated community in like Laguna Niguel. Like, no. No one's coming for what the fuck are you talking about?
No one's doing that shit. No, I had veteran buddies of mine calling me, armed up. It's like, it's happening. They're coming for us.
No one's coming to fucking Cyprus. Like, I had friends freaked out. Like, they're gonna come for you, man.
He's like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, who's coming for you? Knock on my door, like.
Or like,
hold on. Hey, that's the cops. I'll be right back.
My favorite.
You just calm down. You're gonna be okay. I'm gonna deal with these cops and then I'll come back. Cause they're coming for me.
You'd see.
Yeah.
Every day.
They post pictures of like mostly white pro BLM protesters in front of like a Whole Foods, and literally like, they're coming for the CVS, and it's like, it's five people holding signs on a street corner. What the fuck are you talking about?
But no. the hunters are pretending to be the hunted.
So they can go out and be more brutal.
So they could be more brutal.
Yeah, and it worked. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And then they're worshiping this one dude. What's that one dude that just murdered them cats? Was it Dylan Roof?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. In South Carolina.
That guy is like some people's straight up hero, man.
Yeah. He's
and
like
I saw
a
veteran break it.
He's a folk hero.
I saw a veteran break it down perfectly. He's like, I'm a U.S. veteran. He's like, if you walk into a known conflict zone, armed for conflict,
you now become a
willing combatant. And in Iraq, what we called them were insurgents. And that's exactly what this gentleman was. He drove himself to an armed conflict, armed to join the conflict. You're now a willing combatant.
Yeah. If I had had If I had had an Instagram live of me holding a gun at some point that month later, I could be murdered because I had a gun. They'd have a picture of me and like...
Yeah, and then the cops could show up to your house, murder you, and fucking run that video of you.
Well, he's got pictures on Instagram holding guns, brandishing firearms. I mean, why is he brandishing firearms? Because he's not in law enforcement. I mean, he is a veteran, but...
Did you see the video where he fucking rabbit punched some girl in the back of the head and two brothers?
What are we talking about?
They videotape the whole thing.
The dude from Kenosha or Dylan Roof from the church?
Oh, I'm talking about the dude from Kenosha. Man, I'm high.
Yeah, the dude from Kenosha.
Yeah,
the dude Roof. From Kenosha. I'm starting to lose track of names.
The dude from Kenosha was given $2 million bail and then fucking disappeared. Like, he moved supposedly to some safe house because Antifa was threatening him without telling the court where Antifa he was moving to.
So he's being protected by the money boys on the far right.
Well, dude, then you got people who, like, what's the guy who, like, killed himself on Rikers because he couldn't get bail and they kept delaying his trial for fucking 2 years and he was just stuck in jail? It's fucking bullshit.
I'm going to keep bringing this up. The guy who went into Tree of Life Synagogue in my neighborhood, Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh, he walked in there with an assault rifle during services. He murdered 11 people with an assault rifle. And then he walked out and fucking surrendered himself to police. And I'm emotional even thinking about it. And then he's in prison right now pleading not guilty, getting three hots in a cot, fucking probably getting treated real nice by the Aryan boys.
Getting his organic food.
In Florida, I believe he was homosexual, the African-American male, and the dude, they were both, that's one of the reasons that he got executed. He executed, and he shot him twice in the head, and is only getting a year in prison because he claimed stand his ground. Now, the caveat to stand your ground, it doesn't have to mean that you're in actual danger. It just has to be
think you're in perceived danger.
Danger.
Yeah, I know.
You're perceived danger.
They basically
Stand Your Ground is the Trayvon Martin case, and Gary Zimmerman signs autographs as a living. He goes on like publicity tour. Mm-hmm.
And here's where I trip on black people. This is my own people. This is the thing that I have a problem with. I have a problem with the people that claim to be these thugs, these hard people, these where you at during the protest, bro? Where you at when these cops doing stuff? You ain't going against nobody with a gun like you. You ain't going up against nobody who can really take your freedom. You ain't risking shit. And you want to claim hard and claim thug. I'm supposed to be afraid of you? I go in these motherfucking streets. I'm not afraid of none of these motherfuckers because they ain't real. Real motherfuckers get up and stand for their people. Stand up for what this country stands for. I'm not going to go over there and be responsible for the lives of fucking hundreds of Iraqis I was involved in fucking killing for this country. And I'm going to sit here and come back here and let this country go to shit and not do nothing about it? Fuck that. I owe them. I owe those fuckers over there I killed for no reason. I killed them for no reason. I got to make shit good here. I got to make shit good here because I got too much on my soul, man.
Yeah.
That's powerful, bro.
Hell yeah. That's like...
Wow.
Because it ain't about me. It's not about like if whether I live or die. It's about this country being better moving forward for the people that are after me, for my son, my daughter, and for everybody. I am 100%, as much people think, and as much as I say white people and talk about them, I, pure in my heart, am not racist. I do not bear any ill will towards any white person. It is because that I love white people that I fight so hard for their fucking stupidity. Yeah. Because this is a battle for the soul of white America.
Yeah. No, I...
Because at the end of the day, when this is all washes off, we'll be clean.
Mm-hmm.
But the transgressions this country has to answer for, the blood that's been soaked in the soil is deep and it comes back around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we have not. The two original sins of white America, being the genocide and slavery, have not remotely been answered for. They've like addressed it around the edges a little bit. And that's
they've dressed it up a lot of different ways, but fucking never.
No. It's always the concern is always for optics and the brand. It's always
that they want to feel like they moved on. Like if they feel like if they go too far to deal with it, then how can we move on if we keep on bringing it up again? It's like again.
it never left, man.
If you would shut the fuck up about us being slaves, we would be fine. And oh yeah. Don't fucking bomb us.
Yeah, right?
But they bombed us twice. Black people, they bombed black people in this country twice.
More than twice, man.
Two different aerial bombs.
Oh, yeah.
They could have bombed us a third time, but they didn't have planes.
Wait, just to clarify, the two times I'm thinking of...
Did it old-fashioned way.
The two times I'm thinking of Tulsa and the MOVE bombing, right? That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, Tulsa, MOVE, and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And there was also... settlement in there was Wilmington.
Oh, the coup in Wilmington.
The coup, and then there was beautiful Central Park.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah,
a lot that of used to be a black that. Neighborhood. That was a gathering place. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So what I was going to say, I'm glad you guys said what you did because it's much more educated and important to the content.
I want people to know that my gold teeth don't come with any intellect.
I love it. Well, that's fucking, that's jizza energy right there, bro. But what I'm saying is that is the necessary pain that is Trump. Like, that's why Trump had to happen, because he lifted up the rug. It's about what we do now. You know,
that's what I was saying, man. It's like
rugs been lifted.
I was saying, sure. He was like Ipecac. Like, it's this thing you take that makes you vomit up the worst thing that you've got in your stomach. You know,
you ever listen to Moncrief?
Who?
Moncrief.
No.
He's a hip hop artist.
Okay.
He's a white guy.
Okay.
Looks okay. Completely not like he sounds. Like the skinny. He used to play basketball, grew up in Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. His dad was a jazz musician, so he was always around basketball and jazz. So mm-hmm. Yeah, he got to know black people pretty intimately. Mm-hmm. So he has a unique perspective when he talks about facing off against white supremacy.
Right.
He's like, and he said, first, to defeat white supremacy, you have to want to defeat white supremacy.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to answer that question. Like, and even me, from to take race completely out of it, how many things would I sacrifice for I'll just choose a random race, Filipinos.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't sacrifice a beanbag chair to help Filipino people as a whole, because I don't give a shit, because that's how most people are. They don't care. I mean, they don't want to sabotage. I don't want to sabotage Filipino people. Well, I'm regretting that I chose Filipino people.
I'm quarter Filipino too.
People, so. I'm just saying like, most people, they don't not like a group. They just don't give a shit.
They don't want to do it. They don't want to give up anything to help.
Which is why we need to retool the rules of the game and level the playing field and let things play out. That's, you know what I'm saying? Rather than putting it on people, let's readjust the system.
And make it.
One thing Trump did was make it fun to be engaged politically for everybody.
Oh, man.
They turned politics into WWE. So now, man, it's like,
I've never met so many more, at least in the black community, so many people wanting to know who they were and why this was happening and why. Because, you know, white people started reminding us all the old shit they used to call us. And like, where the fuck did it? Porch monkey. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
It's a porch monkey. It's like, is that like monkey jeans? No, I don't. I think he's talking shit.
Yep.
And so you got to go back over your history, and you know, you get to start learning about, you know, who you are as people. And the more African Americans or black people, which, first of all, white and black are stupid. That's not real. That's just
they're made up categories.
There's no race called white. There's no race black.
Yeah.
White came into being at the same time black came into being.
Yep.
At the same time white supremacy came into being.
Yep.
That's it's all part of a system.
I mean,
control.
Without.
So I don't see white people as white people.
Pre-colonialism.
Slightly.
Like if you're just like a white guy
peach,
in France.
Maybe a peach.
Like pre-colonialism, if you're just like a white guy in Germany, your identity isn't I'm white. Your identity is like I'm from Dusseldorf. Like it's not. These categories are made up. They're post-contact categories.
The origin of Christianity was a joint effort between Europeans mm-hmm. from the Mediterranean mm-hmm. and Africans.
Yep.
Moors.
Yep.
I mean, one of the popes was black, or what we would call black.
There's a whole lot.
If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. We know that.
You're doomed to make stupid arguments on Facebook and Twitter. What was I gonna say? So we're approaching.
Sometimes we get bored and just keep on seeing how bad.
We're approaching an hour.
We're bored, just keep arguing. Just like, yeah.
Okay, so we're approaching an hour. We didn't really get to the list, which is totally, totally fine. I do want to end on something. We hit it, but I want to end on something.
You
I
don't, started it?
I don't care at all. I do want to end on something mildly positive, which is two things. Again, I'm saying mildly positive, but it looks like the legislature is moving forward on trying to legalize marijuana, which would be huge.
I'm not good at smoking marijuana.
It really would.
Especially if they legalize marijuana and expunge like all of the old federal convictions. That'd be amazing.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
And also,
everybody's all in the White House now, so they could probably get rid of it.
The Department of Justice is
I don't give a fuck all convictions now. I'm already vice president, bitch.
The Department of Justice is not renewing its contracts with a private prison. So that's good. You know, small thing, but it's good. ICE is still keeping their contracts, though.
It's a step in the right direction.
And then also
in the right direction. We can't be those people that belabor every single point. No. You know what I'm saying? Because we have to allow for little things to come through.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean we let our foot off the gas.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's like, no, we're good. We're still here. I'm still on your porch, Playboy.
Yeah.
I'm still here. And I'm still making it be known that I'm not happy.
So
because it's a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, the only way it can be fixed is through proper education.
Yep.
That's the only way. That's where it has to start.
Look, the door's open for the fight. Let's have it. You know what I'm saying? We all got these great tools. It's about, you know, who learns how to use them better first. The people or the powers that be.
Remember Political Jukebox? The end credits song is going to be You Must Learn. Oh, you guys froze.
That I love doing comedy is that I get to go to places like Little Rock and go to places like Wichita and talk to people that usually wouldn't talk to someone like me. Because they wouldn't be in a situation, because in those places, it's segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Even the audiences, after the show, the black people over here, the white people over here, they don't talk. I'm the only intermediary.
Oh, I know.
And so they think by some of the jokes that I say and some of the way I say certain things that they may be one of the good ones. And I assure them, I'm not. I'm so far from the good one.
Nah.
I just have to say, just full disclosure, I've attacked more white people than I have black people. I don't start stereotypes. I don't follow stereotypes. I've had more white people say the N-word and I beat the shit out of them than black people say anything and me beat the shit out of them. I just happen to stumble across white people that don't know how to shut their fucking mouth.
There's more white people.
Was this in the military?
No, that's in my life, my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Every single one that has said the N-word has caught these hands or feet.
Good.
I kicked one in the chest.
Good. Good.
Yeah, they had it. It was on YouTube for a little bit.
Bro, read these Nikes.
No. It was on YouTube for like a split second because I was wearing a Comedy Store shirt, so they had to get it off YouTube.
Oh, no.
But all you heard, like you didn't see me. All you heard was me go, "Say it again." And all of a sudden he said, "What, Nick?" And then he got it halfway out and I see my foot.
Twisted T right in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's how it goes.
Gotta be a Spartan.
That's how it goes. We gotta.
But we shouldn't talk about violence, man. We should talk about healing.
Oh, I know. The violence is fun and entertaining, but it's not the solution.
We do political violence fantasies on this show at least once every two or three episodes.
Fantasies.
Don't you trip. Yeah, I'll talk about what I do to Donald Trump Jr. in a locked room or something like that. It gets wild.
Are you planning on doing butt stuff to John Jr. in a locked room?
Well, here's the problem, and this is one of the things that I hate about people that threaten violence and do stuff like that. And like, truthfully, it's like you push people so far, you know, like and that's why I don't think it's wise to constantly think that you can continue to. Marginalize the murder and killing of black people. Because I don't know if you saw them brothers marching in Atlanta, that big row of Negroes with guns just they mm-hmm. kept going.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, we talked going. About that.
I'm like, look at this, yeah. this yeah, this is.
What was that crew called?
The not fucking around crew. Yeah,
yeah.
The
not fucking yeah, around crew. And like, and I know a lot of black people that, man, like, look, man, we're not doing this no more. We ain't going backwards. Ain't no thing. And you think we just 13% of the population? How the fuck we 13% of the population? But you can't go to a fucking NFL game or NBA game without having number niggas in there playing. The numbers don't add up. I'm just saying, if you think of the pool of people that you have to choose from to populate both the NFL and the NBA, you guys got like 15 quarterbacks left, 4 offensive linemen, and I think 3 defensive tackles.
Well, we got a whole shit ton of owners.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Oh my god!
Which is why I think the NFL should reform as a player and fan owned entity. No owners.
Oh my god!
No fucking.
That would be that would make it what it was supposed to be.
I mean, you could also talk about how they con cities into paying to build their own stadiums for them. Yeah. It's fucking wild. So this has been an hour. This is good place as any to end. Thank you all for listening.
I wanted to say,
oh, go ahead.
I'll say it when we get off air. Go ahead and close the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can follow us at Bad Lips Pod, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. All our links are at badlipspod.com. I'm at Bad Lips Brendan. Zach is at Zach Miller Dog. Ebo, do you got anything to plug?
Why?
Do you have anything to plug?
Oh yeah. Ben, join my YouTube page and my Twitters and shits, all them shits, man.
Hell yeah!
I don't get to do that. I don't get to go outside because like it's COVID.
There's a plague on the land. I get it.
Yeah, there's a plague. And they're really dying out here in LA. They really seriously dying. Like every time it's like some fucked up thing. It's a fucked up story. They're like, oh yeah, no. Yeah, no, my mom's had COVID. I'm like, oh, okay. Is she correct? Oh, no, she's dead. Is this your stop? I'm like, shit.
Meanwhile, we have people actively protesting in favor of the virus in Orange County. It's wild.
Orange County.
All right. Thank you all for listening, and you have a good week.
All right.
Yay.
And broadcast. Done.